Part 1. If anyone would come after me. Chapter 1. The upheaval begins. I know. I had read the articles warning me not to run a marathon without ample preparation. But unless you count 1 4-mile run a couple weeks before the event as preparation, then nothing went into my prep, save my usual core workouts and the occasional swim. Etched into my mind was the warning email from the Stockholm Marathon. Running 42,195 meters is an endurance test. Do not start unless you are entirely healthy. A few weeks before the big day, I remember walking into the Colorado Running Company and being asked by an associate, "What race do you plan to run?" After telling him I was set to run the Stockholm Marathon, he sized me up and said, "What has been your training program?" Not wanting to go into the fact that I had yet to run a single mile in preparation, my 4-mile preparatory run was still in the future, I replied, "It's been a bit unconventional, but it's going great." Thankfully, my answer somehow satisfied him, and he moved on to his next question, cash or credit. In no way am I advocating ignoring medical or professional advice, or common sense. But as I thought about my plan to run the marathon despite my unconventional preparation, a deeper lesson was gleaned. We can easily dismiss ourselves from the most important races of life simply because we feel ill-prepared. Oh, and in case you're wondering, on that rainy Saturday in Sweden with one goal in mind, to finish the marathon, I lined up with nearly 17,000 other runners and my legs somehow carried me to the finish line. What's stopping you? The Bible is full of stories of people who felt they were not up to the challenges to which God called them. Moses stated a lack of eloquence as his excuse when God commissioned him to shepherd the children of Israel out of Egypt. Gideon considered his family background a hindrance when God selected him to lead the army against the mighty Midianites. The widow of Sidon lamented her lack of resources when the prophet Elijah informed her that she would be the channel of God's provision for him. Jeremiah suggested that his age was a problem when God called him to be his spokesman. Peter looked at his past and tried to quit. As reflected in the adage, "God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called," all these people felt ill-prepared to run the race God had put before them. But the common denominator between them all was that God was with them. He was more than enough. Following Christ is not about how prepared we feel. It is about an invitation. It is an ultimatum, echoed in Christ's words to a few fishermen on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. "Follow me," Matthew 4:19. An invitation, a call, a choice, a readiness to step out of life's comfort zones for the pursuit of the eternal. God calls ordinary people into extraordinary lives. When Christ met them, Peter and Andrew were casting their nets, focused on the work at hand. James and John were mending their nets, preparing for their future. Matthew sat in his tax booth, further establishing his career. But Christ stepped in and invited them to pursue a new occupation and dream of a different future. Perhaps you are like these disciples. You are not planning to have your life radically changed in the next few hours while listening to this book. Here then is a question for you. Are you willing to have your occupation and future changed by Jesus' invitation? Are you clutching your nets while Christ calls you to impact the nations? Are you willing to be called from what you thought was your future into what Jesus has prepared for you? Your response to these questions will be answered by your life. One does not follow Christ by accident. What is it that you would be unwilling to give up for Christ's call? Security? Job? Position? Home? Dreams? Public approval? People's perceptions? Convenience? Family? Relationships? Life itself? Are these questions unfair? The aforementioned people didn't think so. In the pages that follow, all these issues will be called into question in the light of the words of Jesus. Not one woman or man in Scripture was called to follow Jesus without an upheaval of his or her status quo. Are you an exception to the rule? Mary's humble acceptance of her role as the earthly mother of the Messiah was a hazard to her reputation, placed her life on the line, and temporarily sent the love of her life packing. She gave up all to obey and surrender to God as his bondservant. Joseph's dignity and honor vanished when he heeded the angel's message to take Mary as his wife, implicating himself in the perceived scandal of Mary's pregnancy. Christ's entrance into any life brings misunderstanding, disruption, and change to social agendas. We are confronted with the same question that Mary and Joseph faced. Are you willing to let Christ have your life? Are you preserving your social status at the expense of following him and knowing him intimately? Are you willing to let go of life as you know it in order to fulfill the purpose for which you were made? Our Creator asks nothing more of us than what he himself gave. He left the grandeur of his glory to inhabit the body of a helpless newborn, to be perceived as an illegitimate child, and to make his first bed a manger, with swaddling bands as his baby clothes. He was born a citizen of an occupied territory, became a refugee shortly after birth, and lived a homeless life for 3 years. Christ chose to come into this world in a state of poverty and social rejection, bringing depth of meaning to the verse, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." 2 Corinthians 8:9. The invitation is to follow him, in his footsteps, where he has already gone, where he is going. As an undergraduate university student, I remember being alarmed when a minister spoke at a student convocation and, in regard to some difficult words of Christ, said, "Now in these verses, Jesus didn't actually mean what he said." I wondered, did I hear that correctly? Ever since that day, I've been asking the question, what if Jesus meant what he said? Could it be that the problem lies within my hard heart and not in the clear teachings of Christ? What if Jesus doesn't want to be just a part of my life? What if he wants all of me? What if Isaac Watts nailed it when he penned, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all"? William MacDonald, author of Believer's Bible Commentary, said, "Clever theologians can give you 1,000 reasons why it does not mean what it says, but simple disciples drink it down eagerly, assuming that the Lord Jesus knew what he was saying." Soren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher, noted, "The Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly." These men had it right. Jesus Christ said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16:24, Berean Study Bible. And in case we miss it in the book of Matthew, both Mark and Luke include the same statement from the lips of Jesus. This book is about that pursuit. We will work from the premise that Jesus meant exactly what he said. With that in mind, expect to get uncomfortable. The risk. There is an obvious danger in listening to this book. If you choose to believe that Jesus meant what he said, not only will it make you uncomfortable, but your life will be forever changed. As you listen, you will discover that Jesus isn't speaking primarily to that difficult family member, to the person in the office cubicle next to you, or to the one sitting across the aisle from you on Sunday morning. He is speaking to you about your life, about your heart, about your fleeting existence on earth. When the prophet Isaiah heard the Godhead call out, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah 6:8. He didn't respond by volunteering to recruit others. Instead, he answered, Here am I. Send me. Change started with himself. Your choice to follow Jesus does not hinge on anyone else's obedience. It hinges on your own. When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to excuse your disobedience to his eternal word by blaming another human. Are you willing to follow Christ even when it seems inconvenient, uncomfortable, embarrassing, or downright foolish? It all starts with an invitation.